Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's a ball drilled deep to right field. Mangum going back. He turns to look. It's gone. Line drive home run for Corey Seager. His first of 2025. And it puts the Rangers in front 2-1.
Hixey with a call to game you heard right here. Rangers 4-3 walk it off over the Tampa Bay Rays. They sweep the Rays. They win 4-3. They won 6-4 on Saturday, 5-2 on Friday. So that's, that's 15 runs the Rangers scored in the three games, which is quite above their season average because they have had a little bit of struggles getting things going offensively, but the pitching has been nails. Absolutely lights out, and they wind up winning 4-3 yesterday.
Number one ERA in the American League with a 2.93. They've been fantastic pitching. But yeah, the bats are just a little bit slower to come around. But you know what? It's one of those instances of they're getting enough, Chop. They get just enough. That's all that matters. It's just you would like to see that they're scoring more than their season high to this point has been 6 runs. You'd like to see them break out a little bit one of these days. Do you see the Red Sox, what they put up in the first three games, this homestand?
No.
36 runs.
Is that good?
36 runs in three games. I mean, that's How many has Texas scored this year? 41?
No.
What are they up to? Or no, they're 33. They haven't
scored
put that
33.
Up. So they are, the Red Sox put up more in that opening homestand than the Rangers have all year.
Oh, man. Look, it's way too early for me to put any numbers on these games yet. I don't look at run differential yet because one game can screw you for more than a month or help you. Right? It can help you for more than a month. It's funny to look at them. They have the best record in the sport or in the American League with 8 wins, and they've scored 33 runs. The Yankees have played one fewer game. They have 76 runs. The Cubs have played 2 more games. They have 77 runs. So the Rangers are they're not even half to that. But that's the beauty of April baseball, is you get some random quirks like that. I saw this yesterday across the sport. There were 5 walk-off hits on Sunday in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
It's tied for the most on any day in the last 10 years. All 5 games ended either 5-4 or 4-3. All 5. 5 different divisions had a walk-off hit. And then Wilmer Flores of San Fran, he had his 9th walk-off, which is one shy of the most in baseball since 2015. So that's some statistics that I saw yesterday.
Look at that.
Rangers do get the sweep, and you know, we are now winners of 5 games in a row. So that's good.
6-1 at home too. If not for that one blown Luke Jackson save, you might be 7-0 at the Globe. So yep. A game that we were all in attendance for.
Yeah, we were.
Fellowship. Well, not all of us. Everybody at the morning show.
Everybody at the morning show was.
Even Sean came out. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't get really anybody else from any of the other shows except Alec running the board. And then you got Brian from the afternoon show. But nobody else could show up.
It'll be Nate Eovaldi today. 6:40 first pitch. 6 o'clock will be the pregame as they are in Chicago, Windy City, to take on the Cubs for a 3-game set. They get 2 night games. They get 2 night games in Chicago and then a day game on Wednesday. So you don't get the... Usually in Chicago, you get a lot of day games.
Yeah, but they were like, KNC's been off enough.
They've been off enough.
Screw them.
They have been off enough. Rangers fear or fear not. Now, I saw this from the Rangers Savant Instagram page, or Tolos. Shout out.
Yep, good people.
They're 25th in OPS as a team, 28th in on-base percentage, 23rd in slugging. This was going into yesterday's game. 209 team batting average on balls in play. That's 29th in the sport. And they see fewer pitches per plate appearance than every team in baseball except for Oakland. All right, those are not great. Not great stats. You got to turn those around. So let's do a little Rangers fear or fear not.
Let's do it.
Marcus Semien.
Fear.
Now, he did have a home run over the weekend.
Yep.
But in general.
Yeah, the problem is last year was such a down year for a lot of the guys offensively. But, I mean, last year his OPS being 699, which was pretty much, I'm trying to see here, I'm looking out through. So, yeah, that's the worst year of his career when he played a full season. So, 699, that was distressing. So far, this is tough, Chop. He is minus 0.4 in WAR to start the season.
Ew.
That's bad.
Ooh, not good at all.
Yeah, so, I mean, the 416 OPS, a little bit concerning, especially after everything that happened last year. So, yeah, I've got a lot of concern about Marcus Semien right now.
Peyton? Okay. Yeah, I do too. I got some concern there with Semien. He's getting older. We all knew the dirty little secret with him was that the end of the contract, it was not going to age well.
Yeah, it's like Chew or anybody else that you signed. Yeah.
Dude, but you know what? Guess what? Shohei's contract's not going to age well. Soto's contract's not going to age well. Judge's contract's not going to age well. You know who's going to age pretty well is Bobby Jr.'s because he signed it when he was like 20.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it'll be 32. That's going to age just fine.
You look at MLB Savant right now on Semien. Hard hit percentage or barrel percentage, 49th percentile. Hard hit percentage, 20th percentile. Bat speed, 7th percentile.
Man, that's one of the first thing to go is bat speed.
His bat speed on average is 67 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
That doesn't seem sustainable at all.
I wonder if my 15-year-old's bat speed is that high. Like, I wonder.
That's bad.
It might be.
So, yeah, I'm worried, Jeff. I'm worried about concerning. Marcus Semien.
That's a little concerning. So Marcus Semien is a concern.
Peyton, you fearful of Marcus Semien?
Yeah, I am. RJ brought up the age. That's a big question mark and issue. But, I mean, I'm hoping that we're not relying on Marcus Semien with this offense, with this lineup. You know, you're hoping that, you know, you can
rely on your leadoff hitter.
Yeah, but, you know, okay, get on base. You know, I watched Moneyball. You just got to get on base.
That's right. That's right. I like get on base. Do I care how, Pete?
You got Seager, Langford, Adolis. You know, you got all the other guys.
903 says Josh Smith needs to be the leadoff hitter.
I don't have a problem with that. I think Josh Smith's a good player.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, let's just do the offense as a whole. Rangers offense as a whole. Fear or fear not?
I'm going to say fear not because Seager's going to start hitting. He had the home run yesterday. I think we've all been encouraged by Adolis how hard he's hitting the baseball. Heim has bounced back in a big way. Here's the since we just read those other numbers. Average exit velocity right now, Adolis Garcia, 98th percentile. Barrel percentage, 97th percentile.
It's pretty good, man.
Hard hit percentage, 91st percentile. So, I mean, we're talking about it's – Adolis is going to start. Those balls are going to land in play. Like you mentioned, the batting average on balls in play is really low.
Really low. It's unsustainably low. It's not going to be like that for the rest of the year.
They are hitting the ball hard, and they're making contact consistently. It's just it's not ending up the way you want it to. So, offense as a whole, I'm not worried about.
I agree. I'm not worried about the it's way too early on this. I mean, the Semien stuff, you know, some of those numbers like the bat speed, that's concerning. I'm not concerned about the rest of the offense. I think the rest of the offense will be fine. Here's your boy.
Your boy.
Luke Jackson. Five straight scoreless appearances, and he has pitched an inning in every single one of them. He's only allowed 3 hits. And 1 walk in that time. So in those 5 innings, he's only allowed 4 guys to reach base. Where are your fear or fear not with your boy, Luke Jackson?
Fear. Because I believe...
Still scared, huh?
Yeah, because let me look here, Chop. He has allowed 7 base runners and gotten 6 swinging strikes.
7 base runners and 6 swinging strikes.
He's allowing more base runners than he is swinging strikes.
Yeah, look, I mean, I want a closer who generally can miss bats.
Yeah. His fielding independent pitching is still 4.77, which is not good. So I've still got fear there. I know it was the first game was awful. He got into some trouble in the third save opportunity, but man, no. Go ahead and run Chris Martin out there as your closer is what I'd prefer.
I like Chris Martin. I like him a lot. I think we can. I can get down with that. Peyton, fear not with Luke Jackson.
No, still early. I mean, I get the opening day struggles, but he's been like to this point in the season, he's been all right. You know, he's been fine at that, and he's been locking out the saves. He's been okay, but so early in the season, I'm not fearing for Luke Jackson 10 games in the year.
Let's see. Franklin, injury attorneys, Fantex, 877-881-1053. Nothing to fear with Marcus. He's an Iron Man. That's for Michael and Allen. Since we started the season 8-2, we haven't even mentioned Evan Carter.
By the way, Evan Carter, to this point, down at AAA Round Rock, he is 2-for-19, 6 walks, 7 strikeouts. So he's batting 105 with a .320 on base percentage.
Should be Josh Smith, Lankford, then Seager. You don't want lefty. Batting 1-2. If Smith leads off, Lankford needs to hit 2, Seager 3. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with that at all. My guy Ryan over at Jellyfish Lighting said trade Marcus while you can for another arm, whether it's in the rotation or in the pen.
I don't know that anybody's going to want to take on Marcus's contract right now.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for an aging player. And we have seen the league kind of try to phase this out.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, like there are 36-year-olds that are just they're jobless. These are good players that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they'd have been gobbled up. But teams are saying, no, we'd rather have a little bit of youth and cheapness, and we can get away with it.
Yeah.
So that's where they are with that. The health as an organization, like their health, like how do you, are you fearful? Fear or fear not the health?
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have a level of fear, especially with the kind of guys they have on their roster. Like Seager gets hurt a lot. Josh Young gets hurt a lot, already has. Jacob DeGrom is somebody we're always going to have some concern with. Eovaldi, it feels like every year there reaches a point of the season where you're a little like, is he wearing down? Is he starting to feel some, like, fatigue, and is that adding up to injury? Which it has a couple different times. So, yeah, I'm always going to have some level of fear of it, but feeling okay at the moment. I'm really hoping they've figured things out with DeGrom. That's what I'm really hopeful for.
I think the issue is, with some of the guys, they're injury prone in general. Like DeGrom was always injury prone.
Yeah.
Seager had injury issues coming out. Not coming out, but with the Dodgers, right? That was kind of the knock on him. You're gonna put a DL stint or an IL stint on Seager. But all this hinges on Jake, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Rangers have some injury bug that there's something wrong organizationally. Josh Young gets hurt. He just does.
Yeah, it's consistently happened ever since he got here. Ever since he got here from Tech, it's happened.
Mm-hmm. The young kids in the rotation, Leiter and Rocker.
If Leiter goes out there and pitches again like he did, I'm ready to get hurt again. I'm gonna say fear.
You're a rookie of the year out there.
I'll go ahead. I'll say fear not.
Is he eligible? Is he eligible for rookie of the year?
I don't know.
I don't know how many.
I feel good about him. And ultimately, Rocker. I'm gonna say fear not. Ultimately, on both, because I think Rocker, there's some concerning stuff about Rocker, but we've seen enough how he's performed well. I think they just got to straighten some things out with him, and he'll get on track. Leiter, it feels like, has had a breakthrough. And so I'm saying fear not.
Fear not.
Yep, I feel good about Jack Leiter.
Okay.
Even the G-back curse.
I feel great about Leiter right now.
The G-back curse couldn't even hurt him.
Yeah, no, I feel great about Leiter right now. Rocker was okay yesterday. There was nothing wrong with how he threw. He's not missing enough bats. He's not missing enough bats. That's the problem, but... he's getting the job done.
One wild pitch
yesterday he did.
He's been a little wild at times. Yeah. Had one yesterday, but ultimately didn't walk anybody. So
all right, little Rangers fear or fear not. A lot of fear with the Mavs. A lot of Rangers fear or fear not. The Stars, not the greatest weekend for the Dallas Stars, but a great weekend for an all time great. We'll get into that coming up next on the Fan.
Matt Boldy, to Zuccarello in his 900th game. Boldy. Zuccarello, score! Marco Rossi, game winner, Minnesota!
That is an overtime game-winning goal, a game on TNT with the call. Stars, not the greatest weekend for them. Not the greatest weekend for them at all. They only pick up 1 point in a weekend where they would have loved to have gotten two, that's for sure. They lose 5-3 to the Pens and then 3-2 to the Minnesota Wild.
And we did get some insight from our hockey expert, the Hockey Hawk, Gavin Spittle, sent over some notes.
Yes,
he said they got some issues they need to clean up. He says too many penalties. They were one of the most disciplined teams in the NHL, but they have been taking too many penalties lately. He says turnovers, lots of missed passes, just don't seem in sync at times, and they've been outshot really bad at different points. In Minnesota, they were outshot 17-4 in the third period. In both games this weekend, they gave up 40 or more shots on goal. Stars back in action Tuesday against Vancouver. Then it's Winnipeg on Thursday night, who they are 3 points behind in the standings. And I'm sure there's some fresh spits and suds up for you.
Five games to play. They're three points back of Winnipeg. And like you said, you do have that game with them, so you can pick up a couple there. That's going to be really a game that, obviously, if Winnipeg wins that one, it's like, okay, now you're probably put too far away. There's too big of a gap at that point, especially if they get the full two and you get nothing. So
yeah,
there you go. That could be.
You want to pick up at least that point. So
absolutely. Yesterday, though, so you had him tied over the weekend, and then yesterday he went for the record.
Strom crisscrossing with Chychrun through center. Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice. Ovechkin fires. Chasing days are done! Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL!
Are they picking up somebody banging the glass all the way from the top, or is that somebody in the booth, like, pounding their fist because they're so happy?
I don't know.
That's in the booth.
I think that might be in the booth, too. That's cool. That's Caps TV with the call. Ovechkin sets the record. I've got a hockey group chat, Bobby.
Well!
And we were just talking, like, I don't know of another sport where you can get the all-time.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Scoring leader, so points, goals, whatever. And really also struggle to get them in the top 10 in the history of the sport.
Is he not? Like, obviously,
he probably is. But, like, I bet you, because if you include goalies, I mean, you can make the obvious case that, you know, it would be tough to get him in if you're including goalies.
You know,
and people were just going on the list, and all the players that have come before that are players you don't even think of anymore.
You guys were talking about this a little bit yesterday at the Rangers game, the idea of Sid or Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm.
And because Sean was asking the question. He's like, is it like obvious? Is it just a slam dunk that Sidney's better? And you, Jake, Gavin, we're all saying, yeah, it's because Sidney's a two-way player. Like, that's where the difference is. He's just a better, more all-around player than Ovechkin. So it doesn't. Who would you comp Ovechkin to?
Oh, God.
In terms of like having that sort of record, who does that comp to in another sport where you'd say, all right, think of like this guy? Is it like a pure scorer in basketball, somebody who just puts up points but doesn't really do much else? Is that what that is, or what would you say?
It's interesting. I don't know that basketball has. Does basketball have, like, Harden?
Harden would get assists and rebounds, yeah, though.
But, like, you know, so I just went and found a couple of lists yesterday. Like, you know, where do you put him?
Is he? No, that's probably offensive to say Carmelo, right?
Oh, yeah, he's way better. But, like, you know, I mean, like, is he? Would people put him over Jagr? Or Gordy, you know, Lemieux, Bobby Orr, Gretzky, Richard, Sidney. Are you going to put him over Patrick Waugh or Brodeur or Hasek?
The Dominator.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, where's Connor McDavid end up when his career is all said and done? There's a lot of questions.
I mean, he did it he also broke this record in just about as many games. What did he got to one game more?
I think it was almost identical amount of games.
Now, as people have pointed out, I think somebody had said Gretzky got there and then didn't score over the final 17 games that he played or something like that. And so Gretzky reached his goal number 17 games sooner than Ovechkin did. But still, it's very impressive.
Yeah. So that's an interesting little
T from little the discussion. 203 also mentions Steve Yzerman. So
Stevie
that's
Y. Stevie Y. There you go.
I'm guessing T from the 203 would also be Jake Riedma. Because that's close. That's a Detroit player.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. I saw this story. This is crazy. The mayor of Mino, North Dakota.
Hold on, real quick. The fan texts both just came in with the same name, 214 and 361. Is Ovechkin David Ortiz?
Oh, wow. Look, I'm not smart enough to
they
know.
They both said that. You know. And then we got 469 and 682 both said Kevin Durant.
Durant might be a good comp. I mean, he's an all-time great.
641, Luka, all offense.
All offense. Okay, that's interesting. The mayor of Mino, North Dakota has resigned.
Oh, why? He has something resigned.
Well, his name is Tom Ross.
Okay.
Tom Ross, the mayor, resigned the same day an investigative report was made public that found that Ross sent a video of himself alone.
Okay, so some people like to be alone.
Gratifying himself.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Who did he send it to?
The city attorney, Stephanie Stahlheim.
It's probably not a good idea.
Aiden, do we have that on the fan?
He sent the video minutes after the two had a telephone call discussing a police officer taking their own life. He immediately realized that he sent it to her and not to his significant other or whoever, and said, please delete the video. Do not watch it and keep the incident between them. She said that she had Ross said he had recorded the video at home during lunch break and meant to send it to his romantic partner, not to her. He said it was a video meant only for his girlfriend's eyes.
So this was the most recent conversation. So he just tapped something at the top.
Yep.
But this is also,
it's an easy out, too.
This is,
you could say that, oh, I need to send it to you. You're really just trying to see how she responds.
I have known people who have done this, who will send it and then go, oh my gosh, so sorry. Was not meant for you.
Yeah.
Just to see how the reaction is. And then to be able to go, well, actually, it was for you. So, yeah, I could see that potentially being the case. I didn't know they get down like that in Mino.
I didn't either. The report says that she struggled with whether to make a formal report. He was her direct supervisor, and the annual review was pending at the time.
903, by the way, says it's Minot. Said they used to live there in Minot, North Dakota.
Minot?
So they said Minot.
I thought the news art thing that said Minot, but Minot.
They said they lived there. Minot.
Minot.
Why not?
Minot. It might not be. It might not be. Minot. I don't know. Her complaint asked for an apology from Ross that he considered resigning as mayor. So what an unbelievable, unfortunate sequence of events.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's bad. But here's the thing. Maybe he thought that initially he was sending this to another guy, like a political rival. And why would he do that, you might ask? Well, it's because of this latest research that we have out of the United Kingdom.
Well, I love research.
This is groundbreaking. This is new. Peyton, can you cut off the music? This is kind of a big deal here. Okay, this is brand new information that we've received. This research from the United Kingdom. Men are more distracted by sexual images than women, research finds. Okay, no you can put way. The music back up, Peyton. Yeah, this is new, just groundbreaking research. Two experiments conducted on young people in the United Kingdom found that men are more distracted by sexual images than women. In all conditions, participants were slower to make decisions when exposed to such images. The research was published in the research wing of the magazine Sexes, like Sexes, Men and Women.
Slow
like
Brigade.
That's it. There you go. Stimuli. Just two? Stimuli that evoke emotions.
Wow,
yeah, this is conducted in the 1960s, I guess. Stimuli that evoke emotions tend to capture attention and trigger quick reactions. You're kidding. For instance, forming a first impression of someone might take several seconds, but determining whether a person poses a threat takes less than a second. People generally respond more rapidly to threatening images than to non-threatening ones. Similarly, sexual images can also trigger emotional reactions
that
and alter attention and response times in a way comparable to threatening stimuli.
I don't believe this at all. There's no way that men are more... You know, that more,
she was pretty quick to react, that lady.
Yeah, she was.
Nope, don't like this.
Don't like this. Better resign there, chair can.
Which one was that? Play it again, Pete.
because she's got a big pair of cans.
Oh, my gosh.
This is amazing.
But that's it. There you go. New research out of the UK just says that, yeah, guys tend to have quick emotional reactions when they see
that at all.
Boobs.
I've never seen that one. I've never seen that.
Peanut butter skin.
peanut butter skin. Speaking of boobs, science asked to why men like breasts.
Why do they gentlemen, like them?
Yes, why gentlemen prefer boobs. It was in the journal Archives of Relationship Behavior. Chest men are born, not made. That is the study. There's a societal conditioning behind this, but you know they set out to answer this question, and they say that the innate biological preference is just basically that's how we're born. You're either born a boob guy or not.
I'm a breast guy. I'm a boob guy. I remember, gosh. So, Kristen would probably chop as you'll look up and make sure that I'm not getting in trouble here. I want you to stop me if you feel like I'm not in trouble with the bosses, getting in trouble in my household.
Oh, so well, I don't care about that.
Kristen would probably be, I'll say it this way. Kristen would probably be the target of a butt man more than a guy who's
so?
A boob guy.
Wow.
So when she heard me say one time, when she heard me say that I was a boob guy one time, she was like, what do you mean you're a boob guy? Because you're a butt guy. I'm like, why would you think that? I've never said that. She's like, well, because you're with me. I was like, but I mean, I am a boob guy, but I love you. And she did not take solace in that. She got very upset when I told her that that's the type of guy that I was. It's because she was like, well, that doesn't fit my MO.
I prefer the bottom.
We talked about it before. It's like scotch. It's a sign of maturity.
I agree.
It's a mature man's drink. It's a mature man's preference is what they say.
Yeah. Researchers have long theorized that breastuses have evolved to communicate that a woman is fertile. That was the long-standing theory.
Yeah, 214, Bobby spends 10 minutes every day looking at his breasts in the mirror. That's probably why I like him.
Wow.
I play with him a lot.
Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
You're going to get the next diss track, 214.
Philadelphia area man. this is where sports and politics mix here. Because we just talked about the city council guy, the mayor of Minot, resigning. This is a Philly area man demanding that the mayor step down.
This is what happened, guys, residents of Upper Darby Township, when you elect the Cowboys fan to your government. 29 years of losing with this team. What do you expect with the leadership? This is a Cowboys fan. This guy follows the Cowboys. You see what type of leadership they have, and that's what you put your trust in. Cowboys fan. Sickening.
Dude, that's a winning topic in Philadelphia.
Oh, for sure.
If you
how did he get elected? How in Philadelphia did he get elected?
He hit it. You know,
you think a mayor is gonna run and they're gonna be sitting in Fort Worth, Dallas? They're gonna run wearing a Yankees hat. They're gonna get elected.
Look,
are you kidding me?
Broadus said when he worked for the Eagles for that year, he would not tell anybody he was from Dallas. If anybody asked, he'd say he was from Waco. And he's like, they don't know exactly where that is. And so they would just kind of go like, oh, okay, Waco, whatever.
Waco.
Yeah.
Especially back then. Back then, they would have known. That was like right around the time.
Branch Davidian.
Oh, the Branch Davidian.
Yeah, but I mean, they know it's Texas. They don't know where. They don't have an idea of where it is. Because then if you say Texas, that leaves it up too much. Or if you say Waco, you've given it a place. But he would never tell anybody where he was from. He would just say, no, it's not what I'm doing.
Like when we go to Switzerland next week or next month, couple of weeks, I don't know, whatever, 10 days. Should we tell people we're from America or from Texas? I'm gonna say Texas.
I mean, you should always say you're from Texas. You should always own Texas.
Yeah. They know where Texas is.
When I was in
Italy, you know, I said Texas.
That's right.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They know us.
That's right. I'm from Texas. That's what I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna say I'm American.
That's a good way to do it.
Absolutely. Sean and RJ here at 105 Through the Fan. What is coming up next in Below the Belt?
Why are wealthy donors refusing to give any more money to this program until they turn things over to one of the NFL's most mid coaches? That's next in Below the Belt on the Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt. He's an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby. Imagine telling a storied football program, I'm not giving you these millions of dollars anymore until you turn over all of your football decisions to Jason Garrett.
Oh, man.
That's kind of what's just happened recently.
All right. I can't wait to hear the story coming up in about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Another Bobby Belt diss track. And this is aimed at Zach Wolchuk and Eric Chiafalo.
They did me dirty. They did me dirty on Friday.
Zach Wolchuk, the mayor of Minot.
They did me
dirty. Had to be you guys.
It did me dirty on Friday and blocked me from my five-time G-bag status. I was very upset because it was those two. Dawson, Broadus, they were in favor of it. I had the old heads on my side. It was the youngins. It was the kids that did me in, and their excuses were weak. Yesterday when I posted a little teaser of the thing on Instagram, Eric Chiafalo replied, said, sounds like honorary five-time status to me. Talking about the new song. So it's like, oh, okay, you're trying to take shots again by going with the honorary. I don't want the honorary. I don't want to be named to the Pro Bowl as an injury replacement. I want to be put in the Pro Bowl. I wanted to be put in G-Bag of the Year as a vote. Instead, I got stopped at four times. It's offensive. And I took it personal, like Michael Jordan, and I decided, all right, you guys are next for the diss track. So the diss track coming up, 9 a.m., Zach and Eric are going to get it, and you can watch on the fan cam to see the lyrics to that song. So there we go.
We'll have a Diamond Cavs at 9:20.
Perfect. So we'll get you reset with the Final Four and then go after Zach and Eric at 9. And then 9:20, we'll have the Diamond Cavs here. All right. Cal donors are in a standoff with the Golden Bears football team. And do you know why they are in this standoff, RJ Choppy?
I do not know.
They are furious. Furious. Two board members of California Legends Collective, the Golden Bears' only third-party name, image, and likeness collective, which has become just crucial in this day and age for college football programs to be healthy, those NIL collectives. Two of those donors have announced that they will no longer personally donate to the organization they oversee until the school meets their singular demand. One demand.
This is Cal.
Mm-hmm. Put newly hired general manager, former NFL head coach Ron Rivera, fully in charge of Cal football. The drastic moves comes at a rather interesting time in the program's history, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. Over the past 4 years, the Golden Bears have been better on the gridiron than the Stanford Cardinal in almost every conceivable way. Yet, when Stanford hired Andrew Luck and put him in charge of their football program, and you saw immediate changes there. After hiring Luck back in November to be general manager of Cardinal football, Stanford shared that the former quarterback would be above then head coach Troy Taylor on the organizational chart, which ESPN called, quote, an innovative turn in how football operations work. Luck then flexed that muscle when he fired Taylor after an ESPN report came out revealing investigations into employee complaints about Taylor's workplace behavior towards women. There's no ambiguity about Luck's role and what he's in charge of over at Stanford, which is why, who's been named the interim head coach recently at Stanford?
Frank Reich.
Frank Reich, former Colts head coach. All makes sense. Andrew Luck is in charge over there at Stanford. And these donors over at Cal say, we want the same sort of thing. Kevin Kennedy, president of California Legends Collective, says, we all have to acknowledge that we haven't achieved everything we wanted to achieve, so the story is still being written. We're still working hard to create the most competitive team possible and teams possible and honestly have Cal's athletic success match academic excellence. One of these donors said that when you look at Ron Rivera, this is the quote about Ron Rivera, dude. You don't hire Mario Andretti and ask him to sit in the passenger seat.
That's what Ron Rivera said?
No, that's what this donor said about Ron Rivera. Well, there's a reason that you bring someone like that on staff in order to give him control. So this push from Stanford has now turned into a push from Cal and probably other programs in the future where the general manager is going to become like an NFL general manager in their power.
I mean, Justin Wilcox done a decent job at Cal. I mean, they had a good year last year.
Yeah, this seems like an odd time to just dig in on Ron Rivera should be in charge of every last bit of our program.
Especially Ron, I had to go look. I had no idea Ron Rivera played at Cal. Was he on the field when the band was on the field against Stanford?
That's a good question. He may have been. What year was that? That was 82?
I don't know. He was there from 80 to 83.
Then, yeah, he would have been, because I think it was 82 is when that Stanford-Cal game was.
The fan is on the field.
Yeah, so the Stanford-Cal game would have been, I'll have to look for it. But either way, Ron Rivera, as this is such an odd phenomenon we're getting lately of just total
82.
NFL.
Yeah, 82.
Then, yeah, he would have been there. Total NFL input taking over at the college level. And now, look, when we hear about Michael Lombardi becoming the GM at North Carolina, what we've gotten there is Lombardi apparently is just in charge of the transfer portal, is basically what he does. That's what he oversees. Whereas Luck is in charge of football ops. Like, yeah, he is the guy. And they sound like they want Ron Rivera to be that guy.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot. Because now, did you just eliminate the AD?
It feels like it. It feels like the AD is just kind of delegating roles. And like, all right, you're in charge of football,
like,
anyway.
If you're a major university, like does the athletic director at Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a high paying job.
Yeah.
All right. It's a public institution.
Let's see what Chris Del Conte's salary is. $19.25 million. So more than Adam Silver.
I'm sorry. He makes what?
Yeah.
No, not per year.
Oh, no, that's through the... I was talking about through the end. Through the end of his contract to 2030. Not per year. Sorry, my bad.
I was like, what? I'm just
kidding. No, that's the seven-year contract worth up to... So he makes like almost three.
Almost 3 a year.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a high-paying... That's a high-paying job. If you're going to have a GM be the end-all, be-all decision-maker for the football program, that's going to be a high-paying job, too. Like, you know, what is the... Can you as a public institution justify... $3 million for an athletic director whose only job isn't even to hire the head coach anymore. That goes on the GM's under his purview.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you're turning over all that power, that just seems... And you're not even turning it over to people who have GM experience at that sort of level.
Yeah,
in the
so
pros.
Now what you're saying is that, okay, so the GM, you're the athletic director for every sport but football. And the GM is the athletic director for football. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's essentially how they've broken
these ADs it up. They created a job that eventually will kill their own job. Some AD created the GM job, right?
Yeah.
They said, I got an idea. Let's get a GM. They essentially signed their own death warrant.
Well, it's because of, well, at least you signed your own death warrant as the AD of the football aspect of it, because the AD obviously oversees everything.
But you're not going to pay $3 million for somebody to find the softball coach and the baseball coach and the college basketball
probably
coach.
Probably not. But I mean, if you're. You're basically probably paying them, I would guess, to be a vice president.
Yeah, unless your job is now to be a fundraiser.
Which, I mean, how much of... We've heard coaches talk about their entire job becomes fundraising now in the NIL era. Because that's the reality that's been brought about by this whole shift and this whole change.
Wow.
But, man, this is wild to me that we're talking about Ron Rivera being the guy that you would hold up all your donor funding over to make sure that he was just completely in charge of the program. But... I mean, you get what you ask for over there, Cal. All right. Shedeur Sanders had his pro day over the weekend, performed well, did a good job, apparently. The Titans met with Shedeur Sanders' camp, and they agreed to cancel their private workout following Colorado's pro day. This from NFL.com. Tennessee met with Shedeur Sanders' camp following his workout on Friday. They agreed to cancel the previously scheduled private workout per Titans senior writer Jim Wyatt. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported Monday that Sanders and his teammate Travis Hunter were slated for a workout with the team on April 9th. That would be Wednesday. The Titans will instead keep their evaluation of Sanders to previous game scouted, game film, and the aforementioned pro day, which included Sanders firing off 60-plus throws with only 4 incompletions. Titans general manager Mike Bergonzi said following Friday's session, Shedeur threw the ball well, and we got to see him out there with Travis. And Travis, everything you see on film, he's one of the twitchiest athletes I've ever seen. He's impressive. It was good to see Shedeur go through the whole workout and the 2-minute drill after. It just confirms a lot of what you saw on tape. I think that what this is not, boy, we have everything we need to know about you. It's, we're not picking you. So we'll go ahead and we'll cancel the workout.
So you think that's what it is? They
not that they weren't impressed. Or they just know they're either going to pick Cam Ward or they're going to trade out. So they don't need to meet with him. That's how I think they look at it.
And you don't think there's a chance they take Hunter or Carter?
No, I don't think so. I think if they stand in, they're going to pick
Cam Ward
is what I would assume they're going to do. But there is some growing buzz. You know, we assumed all this time Cam Ward goes one, Abdul Carter probably goes two to the Browns. That shifted over the weekend. The betting markets moved, and all of a sudden, Travis Hunter was the favorite to go number two.
And where is Shedeur in all this?
Shador at that point you would think would be number three to the Giants, but could the Giants go, well, Abdul Carter's sitting here. We didn't think he would be here. We're taking Abdul Carter. And then the Patriots are picking, and the Patriots don't need Shador Sanders. So they would potentially look to bail or would pick somebody else. Now you've got everything changing behind that, if that's what happens. If the Browns take Travis Hunter at number two, that could change everything. And if the Browns take Travis Hunter at two, they're playing him at receiver, is what they've said. So they think that he'd be a receiver to start off. Broadus has been insistent that he thinks Travis Hunter's a receiver, which when you see all of his traits, he has a ridiculous ceiling as a route runner. Just a ridiculous ceiling as a route runner. He could be one of the best in the NFL. He's not there yet. He's not polished on either side of the ball. He's not a super polished corner. He's not a super polished receiver. Probably because he spent so much of his time split. Yeah. And he hasn't devoted to one thing. But Travis Hunter going number two to Cleveland and playing receiver there, that could disrupt Shador in a big way if that's what they end up doing.
All right. Interesting. Sean and RJ here, 105 through the fan. B-Low.
B-Belt.
On the fan. Let's get you set for the 9 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we're going to have a Diamond Cavs, but it is time for the Bobby Belt. Eric Chiafalo. Zach Walchuk. Dish Track. It's happening next. 105 through the fans. We get you over to Zero Res. Get that carpet professionally clean. Cleanway, Greenway, Zero Res Way. Best carpet cleaner in the business. They don't use soaps. They don't use chemicals. They don't use detergents. It's their own system. It's the RJ Choppy fan special. I'm a big proponent of it. It's an amazing offer. It's three rooms pre-treated, clean, and sanitized for $109. And then $75 off your air duct cleaning. Beat the spring cleaning rush. Big savings. Priority booking. Call our friends at Zero Res. You know, you want to get the carpet clean. Why? Biggest air filter you got. You know what it is. It's allergy season. Yeah. It's been killing people. My kids, myself, Sarah, they're all just getting beaten down by allergies right now. Well, you know, we haven't gotten the carpet clean this calendar year. So it's time to do that. We are going to get that taken care of with Zero Res and the RJ Choppy Fan Special. You should do it every year, every springtime. It's a great time of the year to do it. Better, cleaner home. The carpets looks cleaner. They look brand new. You don't need new carpet. You need clean carpet. You need the RJ Choppy Fan Special from Zero Res at 214-37-CLEAN. 214-37-CLEAN. 214-372-5326. Or ZeroResDallas.com. It's a little backwards or forwards. It spells the same as Zero Res.